Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Vava Metzia Daf Pei. We are right at the Mishnah on top of the Amud. Hasoicher es hapara lachrish bahar. A fellow rents a cow to plow with it up in the mountain where it's more rocky. The terrain is rougher up there than in the valley, and he took it down to the valley, which actually made for an easier job. V'charash v'bika. Now the parah comes along with its equipment, notably the kankan, which is that pointed piece of whatever that actually does the plowing. So he's plowing down the valley where it's meant to be easier. V'im nishbara kankan, and down there the kankan, this protruding, blade, okay, which is meant to actually do the furrows, it breaks. He's potter because, if anything, he made it easier. And, it's not attributed to his change of venue. But, Babika, he rented it for the valley where the job is easier. V'charash Baharan took it up to the mountain where it's rockier and terrain more difficult for plowing. There, in Nishbara Kankan, if the equipment broke down, he's chai because he took it to a place where the plowing is more difficult and more susceptible to damaging the equipment. Another example, Ladush Bekitnes. So he hired the animal in order to thresh some beans, which are more slippery than just plain wheat grain. Vidash Betvoy, he took it to thresh some wheat, and the animal slipped and died. He's potter. But let's say it was ladush betzvua, the intention was for a grain which is less slippery, vidash bekitnes, and he took it to the beans, and there it slipped and got hurt. He's chayiv. You know why? Mipnei shakitnes machlekes, because kitnes is more slippery, and he is responsible for exposing the animal to increased danger. Okay, so this is all when he changed the plans. What about if the plans were unchanged? Okay, he hired it for the valley and he took it to the valley and the kankan, the equipment, broke down. Man mishalom, who's going to pay? Rashi explains, well, you can charge the fellow who's leading the animal. There are some workers involved as well, right? So he's leading the animal. You have the fellow who's actually holding onto the plow, pushing it into the ground. Who's responsible if the equipment gets damaged? Omar Papa, the Nokat Parsha Mishalim, the leader, holding on to the mardeya, like the stick that they used to lead the animal, because evidently he didn't do a good job. He wasn't, going perfectly straight with the animal, and that sort of deviation, that curve, the pivot off to the side is what knocked the equipment out of service. Rav Shisha Beid Ravid Omar, no, the Nakat Mana Mishalim, it's the fellow holding the kankan's fault. Rashi says, Shehemik, Yorsimi Dai Baritz, he went too deep. And that's how it cracked. And that's the halacha. Vilchasa, the Nakat Mana Mishalim, the one who's clutching the actual equipment, is responsible. Now, Viduchta de Machsaka Gundri, let's say they're plowing through an area where it's known to have extra stones and stuff like that. And they should have been extra careful. So there, Taravayu Mishalim, they're both responsible. The one leading the animal and the one holding the equipment, Rashi says, because since it's such a, it's full of stones, so they should have been extra careful. Ubudara Muat, says Rashi, even a slight deviation on account of the leader of the animal, the one driving the animal, that can cause equipment breakdown. So basically it's an unknown, Rashi says. Vahabadavar Hamutal Bisafik, and they both have to chip in to replace the material. Amar Bihman, Hamaycha Parla Khaver. Reuven sells a para to Shimon. Vahmarlan, he warns him. He forewarns him. Look, this animal is bad news. Parazu, this animal that I'm selling you, I'm giving you a good deal on it, but you should know, you gotta keep a good eye on it. Nachonasi, it's known to gore. Nashchonasi, to bite. Batonasi, to kick. Ravtonasi, just, sits down whenever. So basically, It's really a no-good cow. A whole long list of deficiencies. And truthfully, he was really hiding the real intention, because it really didn't have all these deficiencies. It only had one of those things. So he just exaggerated. Oh, it's got this, it's got that. Vesanfei means he added it, he slipped it in between the other deficiencies, which are not true. Thinking that, you know, the fellow will just look at him as just an exaggerator. And in fact, that's what happened. The customer, you know, noted one of these things, looked into it, and says, animal's perfectly, he's a tame animal, he doesn't gore. So he figured that it must have been just a big exaggeration, Rashi says. The kasavar who bekul and mishaker, he figured the seller's just, you know, bad-mouthing his merchandise. You know why? Ela lahashlich me'olav taroy musu oimer. He wants to relieve himself of any future complaints, right? It's like a disclaimer, right? But it's a pretty broad disclaimer. This, that, the other thing. So he figured it's just a fine print in the contract. It's not really a real concern. But in reality, one of those concerns was real. What's the halacha? Harei zeh mekach tos. See here? It's called a mekach tos. I didn't plan on buying a goring animal. And even though you actually told me it was, but you know what? You presented it in a very exaggerated form, and I just took it at face value. You're just painting your animal in very bleak, in a very bleak package. So basically, I didn't think there were any concerns. But suppose he says mumze, he points to a specific problem. It has this blemish, umum acher. You know, it has other things as well. But he did specifically single out the problematic element of the animal. But he sort of packaged it. Oh, it's got other things too. Ain't a mekach tos. Here, we don't treat it like a mekach tos because the fact is he was careful to single out one specific item. You should have looked into that. And you would have discovered it to be a concern. Tani Namihach, we find the same idea in a braisa was selling a shivcha. Hamecha shivcha chaveiro, and he tells him, oh, this is a no good situation. She's a shaitahi. She's mentally deranged. Nifasi, she's physically incapable. She's collapsing and fainting. She's got emotional issues. A whole long list of lashon hara. And the truth is, it had one problem. She had one problem, but he just slipped it in with everything else. And this fellow figures, okay, let me check into it. He finds a certain, you know, one item to be okay. He figures the whole thing was just an exaggerated disclaimer. He can give back the shivcha. But let's say mum zev mum acher, he did single out one legitimate concern, but then he said, oh, it's got other things as well, which are not true. But ein zev mekach tos, there's no claim of mistake in the transaction because you should have at least looked into that specific concern that he singled out to you. Amalei rav ach, rei drav la rav ashi, hoye ba kalamu min alalumau. Let's say the shivcha did have all those deficiencies. Truthfully, did have all those deficiencies. But the buyer is only concerned about one. He only has concern with, let's say, shaitahi, right? And what's his claim? So he says like this. I thought you were just exaggerating. Okay, so it's in his mind. So he has no claim. That's not a claim. Amalei Rav Mardach L'Rav Ashi, Hachi Amrina Mishmei D'Rava, Hoye B'Kalam U'Min Alolu. If in fact you had all those problems, he's a Mekach Tos. You can't claim it was a Mekach Tos. You think he's exaggerating? Actually, he's a very straightforward, honest person. He told you the way it is. It's got this, it's got that. Shouldn't have bought it. Says the Mishnah, Seicher Sachamor, Lovi Le'achitin. He hires a donkey to transport his wheat. Okay, let's say a lesach. So a lesach is 15 sa'ah. A sa'ah is 6 kav. So he's going to bring a lesach of chitin onto the chamar. Last minute he decided to switch it to barley. Barley which is lighter than wheat. So, you know, let's say you have the same volume of a lesach. Lesach is a volume of sa'irin. Like you would have had chitin. The fact is sa'irin is lighter. Just the way it is. Maybe a less iron. So he figured, okay, let me add to the load. because it's lighter and I commissioned it for chitim. So he's going to add to the load. He's going to bring the same amount of seirin in terms of volume, but then he's going to add to make up for that lost weight. Chayiv. The animal dies or whatever, is chayiv, because he shouldn't have done that. The fact is, you know, the size of the load also affects the animal. It's not just about weight. If he's overladen with a huge load, that's also a problem. So you can't do that. Another example, tavua. You hired it for wheat, for grain. Vebiyaletevin decided to bring hay, which is obviously lighter. But he increased on the volume to compensate for that lost weight. Chayiv is chayiv. Vibnei shan nefach kasha kemasi, because volume is a factor like weight. Suppose he commissioned it for a lesach, certain volume amount of chitin. Instead, he brought vehevi lesach sa'irin. That's okay. But v'yimaisif amasar chayiv. But if he added to that load to make up for lost weight, he's chayiv. V'chama yosef amasar, how much? V'yichayiv, how much is he chayiv? Sunchas oimer mishur amir sa'al legomel. If it's a camel, it could hold more. So if he added a sa'al beyond what he was supposed to, he's responsible for any consequences. Shloisha kam l'chamar, if it's a chamar, even three kav addition is a problem. Itma we have machlekes. Abaya omar kosher kemasoi tanan. Volume is tantamount to weight. We'll see soon what this means. Rav omar kosher limasoi tanan. If you add to the weight, that's the problem. Oh, explains the Gemara. Abaya omar kosher kemasoi tanan. Nifcha nafcha ki tikla. Volume, nefach, volume, is just as much a factor like weight. What does that mean? So, as we explained, lesach, 15 sa'ah, so all these are volume amounts. So let's say it was supposed to be a lesach of chitin. He did a lesach sa'irin, same volume. Nafcha kitakla. So the volume is just like weight. Because, you know, weight is a factor and volume is a factor, right? So they pretty much match, equalize. So if you have a lesach of sa'irin instead of a lesach of chitin, you've sort of reached your capacity, even though it's lighter. Because the volume makes up for the weight. Okay, so we treat it as though they're of equal weight, and you've reached your capacity. Now if you add it to that, how much? Three kav. Three kav is a half of sa. A lesach is 15 sa. So basically you added a 30th above your chayiv. So according to Abaye, whether you have a lesach of chitin, lesach of sa'irin, you've reached your capacity. And now if you exceeded the load capacity of the animal by a 30th, you're chayiv. Rav Amar, no. Volume is a factor to reckon with, but on the same level as weight. So according to Rava, unless you added a 15th, which is a greater amount of you exceeded by a greater amount, you're not chayiv. Rava makasha limaso itzanan. The mission says volume is difficult for the animal if it is limasoi, if you've reached the same weight level. So basically, in order to get to the same weight of the lesach of chitin, you have to add a 15th. So a lesach plus a sa'ah of sa'irin gets you to the same weight as a lesach of chitin. So kosher limasoi means if you add it more volume till you brought the sa'irim to the same weight level as the chitim would have been, then you're chayiv. That's a much, much bigger addition than Abaye. It's a 15th that, rather than a 30th. Because the fact is, you know, volume is something, but not to the same extent as it's not treated like weight. So unless you got to the same weight level, right, you're not responsible. But if you did, then obviously you added a lot more. You added a 15th. you added a full sa'ah to the less of Sa'irin to get you to the same weight as the less of Chitin, that's already going too far. You got to add a huge amount of volume, that's a problem. Kosher lemasu itznan. Takla ki takla, v'nifcha v'tisefes. If you got to the same level in terms of weight, tikla, the weight of the Sa'irin, or the same weight as the Chitin would have been, so this nafcha, this added volume, is the tesefes, is what's making you making you responsible chayev, because you exceeded the capacity, low capacity of the animal. Okay, so going to Abaye it's a 30th, going to Rabbah it's a 15th. Tanan, let's go back to the mission. You hired it for chitin. Instead, you loaded it with a lesach of sa'irin potter. If you added your chayiv, my love, shlesh is kav. We're assuming that you added three kav, which is a half of sa'ah, which is a 30th of a lesach. So it's like Abaye, loy sa'ah. He added a full sa'ah, which is a 15th. But the Mishnah clearly says it's three kav. How much would he add to make him chayiv? And regarding a chamar, it's only three kav. So I just come with chamar. That's like Abaye. The Mishnah means like this. When he switched the sa'irin for chitin for sa'irin, of course you need more. But the second part of the Mishnah is not going on a switch. He didn't switch the content of the load. It was meant for chitin, behavi chitin. He hired it for wheat and he brought wheat. Sa'irin ve'evi sa'irin was meant for wheat, for barley, and it was barley. So he added, he exceeded load capacity. He's responsible. How much does he have to exceed? Okay, so this is the standard formula, a 30th. A gomel can handle more, but a chamar, it's three kav per a lesach, which is a 30th. Toshma, here comes another line. Lo bi lesach chitin. It was meant for a lesser of wheat. Instead of 15 saw, you brought 16 saw of sa'irim, which is a 15th, like Rava. There's only 3 kav, which is a 30th. He's pata. So what does Abaye do with this brisa? Tirgum Abaye b'mechita. Says Abaye, oh, this brisa is speaking where the sa'as were measured with a sort of a smaller, more pressed down. Right, the content was more pressed down. It wasn't, in a generous way. So basically, your 16 is really much less than 16, and therefore it fits with my formula. Taravon. What is considered overloading in terms of a person who's hired to transport goods in terms of a ship? Okay, so how much do you exceed in order to be responsible for any consequences? Tanarabon, a kav katov. Katov is a person who's schlepping stuff around. If you add a kav, which Rashi says is a 30th, right? He's supposed to be carrying 30 kav, that's his load capacity. If you add, if you give him an overweight load, which is a kav more than meant to be, you're chayiv. If anything happens to him. Adriv, Rashi says Adriv is a lesech, 15 saw. That's considered overweight for a boat, for a reva, for a small boat. A kur overweight is considered problematic lesfina for a bigger ship. Shleshes kur lebernik doila. A big ship is meant to carry 30 kur. So if you overloaded by 3 kor, which is again is a 30th, right? Sorry, a kor lesvina, a larger ship, right? So a reva is a mini ship. Svina is sort of a medium sized ship. So there it's meant to carry 30 kor. You add a kor, you've gone a 30th beyond its capacity, your chayiv. But a burnik dola is a big commercial ship. So there it's meant to carry 3 times as much. So the addition is shloishes kurim lebornik doyle. You added 3 kor to that load. You've gone way past your allowance. Amar kavl katov. So this is an adam, a person who's transporting your goods. If you add a kav, you've overladen him, and you're chayef any consequences. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? He's a person. Let him. You can tell if it's too heavy. You shouldn't be carrying it. Im yisad lemotzibay. If you can't carry bardas, or he's a intelligent person, let him just drop the load. I mean, who's forcing him? Amar bai b'shachafte la'altar. He didn't have a chance. He dropped right away. He collapsed the second he loaded him up. So you're responsible for that. Rava Amar Nalib Shat, Afilu Tem Mishlechav Til Alta. Even if you say it didn't happen right away, the Tzricha must be speaking El the Agri Yisera. He's asking for more pay. Right? Overweight. Ravashi Amar, who's Savar Chusha the Nakat Le? The person's intelligent? Yeah, he's thinking to himself, he must have had a hard night's sleep, and he's in a weakened state today. He didn't attribute it to the extra load, so he's walking around with this load, thinking that it's within acceptable norms, and turns out that it's overloaded. And therefore you're chayef for any consequences. And we spoke about a kur l'sfina, shloishes kur n'burnik doyle. We learn from here, stam sfina is, stam sfinta baslosin kur. A sfina is meant to carry 30 kur. And that explains why we have this formula. Matter of fact, what's the point of mentioning this? So when you buy a sfina, you're meant to have this load capacity. Otherwise, you're entitled to get reimbursed. Says the Mishnah, Shkolo umnen shemri sachar hein. Umnen is a craftsman, right? So a mechanic took your car, and he's fixing it. What status does he have? Is he a shemer chinam? Is he watching it free of charge? Or is he considered like a shemer sachar? He's getting paid for his services, which increases his level of responsibility and liability, right? The answer is, he has a din of a shemer sachar. So if it gets lost or stolen, he's chayef. But, let's say he sends you a message, look, your car is ready for pickup. Is he still responsible to look after it? No. They sent you a message, here, come pick up your car. Vavi mois. Pay for the job and pick up your car. Shomer chinam. Now his status is downgraded to shomer chinam. He's no longer considered shomer sachar because he finished his job. Shmar li v'esh malacha. Okay, Reuben tells Shimon, please look after my car. I'll look after yours tomorrow. Shomer sachar. So they're both shomer sachar because they're getting paid for their service. But let's say he says, shmar li, could you watch my car? But Amar li says, you know what? Halacha fanai. The fellow responds by saying, look, leave it here. Shem Echinam is a Shem Echinam, but not more than that. Hilavol Amashkin Shem Esachar. Here is $1 million, right? He only loans him $1 million, and he takes a Mashkin collateral. He's a Shem Esachar because, as Rashi says, Char Mitzvah, which the Gemara will explain later. Rabbi Doimer, Hilavol Mois Shem Echinam. If he lent him money for the Mashkin, he's a Shem Echinam. Hilavol Pay Raise, but if he lent him pay raise, there, the lender has some benefit because Rashi says payers are bound to spoil. So he has some gain by having this person borrow his fruit, and therefore he is a shomer sachar. Right? The mashkin that he took in exchange is, he's looking after it as a shomer sachar because he's getting some benefit from this whole deal. Amashal Omer, another halacha, Rashi Adam Lahaskar Mashkin Shalani. If you lent money to a poor man, he gave you a mashkin, you let him rent it out. And use that rent as a deduction, deducted from the loan, you're doing him a big favor. He's helping this poor man get back on his feet. So the Mishnah says that a uman, craftsman, looking after the item that he's working on, is a shemer sachar. Despite the fact he's not really getting paid for watching it, he's getting paid for working on it. So as the Gemara Leimamas, perhaps our Mishnah, which considers him a shemer sachar, is the like Rav Meir, is not consistent with Rabbi Meir Shita. Where's Rav Meir? The Sanya. We have a machlekes. Seicher keitzad mishal. We know there's a shemer chinam, who has a lower level of responsibility. We have a shemer sachar, carries a greater level of responsibility. What about a seicher, a person who's renting an item? He's having benefit from it, so perhaps it's like a shemer sachar, but fact is he's paying for that service. He's paying to use it. So two sides of the coin here. Which way? How would you treat him? Rav Meir Amar Shemer Chinam. He's a Shemer Chinam. Fact is, he's not getting paid for watching the item. Rav Meir Amar Shemer Sachar. No, he's like a Shemer Sachar, Rashi said, because he has anah from having the item in his possession. Okay, so bottom line, the Gemara now will compare it to our Mishnah, where we have an Uman who is having Hanah, he's getting paid for his service, but not getting paid to wash the item. So he has some sort of benefit, but not directly. So how would you treat him? According to Rav Meir, we think, according to Rav Meir, it would be like a Shomer Chinam. And now Mishnah considers him a Shomer Sachar. Filu Atemer Rav Meir, you know what? Our Mishnah can follow Rav Meir as well. But here he has more benefit than a regular Sachar. Which benefit? He has some sort of Hanah, because Shavik Kuli Alma V'Agir related to the day. Due to the fact that the car owner ignored all the other mechanics. He turned away from all the other craftsmen and he hired me. Oh, that boosts his prestige. It gives him notoriety and credibility. And therefore, it is tantamount to payment. So he got a fee. Shomer Sachar, that makes him a Shomer Sachar for watching the ad. So let's go back to a renter. I mean, the same idea. It can be said there, but yeah, no, the Koshava Kuliyama Mugil of the day. Fact is that you chose me over everybody else to rent me this item. Havi Elisha Shemes Sachar. That perhaps should catapult him and elevate him into Shemes Sachar. So how could you differentiate? He writes, says the Gemara, Ela Afilu Tein Rav Meir, another way to match our Mishnah with Rav Meir. Vayano the Koyov Litve Purta. Havi Elisha Shemes Sachar. A regular Seicher is not a Shemir Seicher, but over here by the craftsman. Rashi says, we're assuming that he, you know, gave him a little extra than he deserved. You know, you can't hit, you know, nail, you can't hit the right exact penny amount in terms of how much the craftsman deserves. So chances are you added to the, you gave him a little bonus. Tesis actually says, who says, maybe it was a very exact amount, but the Gemara soon will ask Akash on this anyways, but at this point, the Gemara is figuring he must have gotten a little extra, and that's why he's a Shomer Sachar. The fact is he's got that extra payment, that makes him a Shomer Sachar. Well, Seicher Nami. What about a renter? Aren't we speaking to Kamash Philip Feipurta? Maybe the owner, gave it to him for a discount, dropped the rental a little bit. So he got a good deal, and that makes him a Shomer Sachar because of that gain. Okay, so bottom line, we can't differentiate between the two, and we're back to the Kasha. And now in Mishnah, we learned that an Uman is a Shomer Sachar. Why? El afilu tein Rav Meir, it can work even with Rav Meir, but I know the toughest lay igre. Oh, the fact is, the mechanic has the upper hand. He's in possession of your car. That will ensure timely payment, right? And spare him the effort of having to run after his customer for payment. But I know the tough is that I agree. They know that he has by holding on to this item until he gets paid. To lay by the mail, which will spare him the tircha of running after the fellow for his money. That benefit makes him a Shomer Sachar. Have a Shomer Sachar. Iboy is saying another alternative can be like this. That you're right, an Uman is like a Seicher, no difference. Our Mishnah can follow Rav Meir as well. Because Rav Meir actually holds that a Seicher is like a Shomer Sachar. We'll switch around the names. Iboy is saying, he had a switch in the Brayos of Tanna, he learned Seicher case in Mishalom. What level do you put a Seicher on? Rav Meir or Shomer Sachar? And that fits with our Mishnah. The Uman is a Shomer Sachar. Rabbi Daim is a Shomer Chinam. So we want to, Rashi says, we'd like to match our Mishnah better with Rabbi Meir, because we know that Stam Mishnah, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi HaKadosh, when he presented anonymous Mishnahs, typically they're following Rabbi Meir Shita, and that's why we want to match it up with Rabbi Meir. Okay, so in today's daf we have three separate Mishnahs, three separate Sugis. In the first case, the first Mishnah we discussed, a fellow who hired an animal and took it to the wrong place, which caused its downfall. We have a case of a fellow selling an item with many and pretending that it has many deficiencies, how to deal with that. We have a fellow who's overloading the animal or overloading a ship or a person, how to deal with that. And we discuss the status of an Uman and a person's Malvan Amashkin. And we worked out how the Mishnah will fit with Rav Meir as well. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.